Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of The Miracle Man here on Tuesday, January the 19th of 2020, excuse me, January 18th of 2022, and I am your host tonight, The Miracle Man, coming to you from Midland, Michigan, where I live, and it's a blessing to be with you tonight, wherever you're tuning in from, however you found about it, however you found out about us. I'm glad that you're tuned in wherever you found out about us. And it's a blessing to have you. It really is. It's not just something that I'm saying or thinking. No. But it's a blessing to have you. Means a lot. And it really is. good to have you. Whatever it is you're doing, however you, wherever you are, it's good to have you. And even though it might be the doldrums of winter on the outside, but of course with God on our side, you know, he's always with us, making a way for us when it seems to be no way, but he makes a way for us. And people may ask me, you know, some people might wonder, you know, Miracle Man, do you like winter so much? Well, to be honest with you, after January 1st, do I like winter? No, I don't. No, I don't. Too cold, could do without a lot of the snow. It's not my cup of tea. Used to not mind it as much when I was younger, like elementary school. But then I even got to high school, I didn't like it as much there either. I mean, winter as much. In fact, at the high school level and even at college, other than at Christmas time, my favorite part of winter was if I got a snow day. Yeah, just the snow days that it could give. But, just kind of something about me and winter. I actually admitted to someone that I was a summer person over winter, always. And, in fact, today, my my helper, Cassandra, she told me that her mom, when she was a teenager, when her mom lived in Texas as a teenager, her mother got a second degree burn on her sitting on the leather seat of like her mother's car or whatever, in Texas when it was like 100 and some degrees outside. To be honest with you, I thought for sure that out there in that heat in Texas like that, that your body would be wired for it. If you get so used to that kind of heat, I would think for sure that just eventually your body would become that used to it. But somehow, apparently not. But apparently her body did not become used to it, even though I wish it would have. No, I don't mean like I wish for her. I just would think that it would have. So it's going to be a good show tonight, as it always is. And it's just going to be like it always is, and soon we'll get into some music, then we'll get into the word, and then we will discuss what we read. Before I do that, though, I do want to remind you of a couple things. First off, I do want to remind you about the Right to Life event Sunday in downtown Midland. Yes, I know, in the cold. And yes, on that day, I promise I will not whine about how cold it is. I promise. As for the day before, the day after, I don't know. I don't know. But this Right to Life thing, it's about the right to life, of course. First, it'll be the Midland County Courthouse, and then march down to St. Bridget Catholic Church. And then when we get there, there'll be refreshments as well as speech about the right to life from my mother, followed by a song, and also a song from myself. And you can feel free to join us if you want on Sunday at 2 p.m. at Midland County Courthouse. Also, real quickly, I want to remind you of, about our PayPal. I always do that after this next one. But I do want to remind you about our book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life, how gracious God has been, all the different miracles that God has done in my life. And God has been gracious in my life, and all the great miracles he's done, the miraculous things that he's done. And it really is a miracle that I'm still alive. I'm not just saying it. I mean it when I say that. And the book should, I pray the book is an encouragement to you. And it's the story. It's a great story. It's about the goodness of God. and all the different healing, along with other miracles that have happened in my life. And so, find out information about the book at the website riversofmiracles.com. Again, that website is rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, ofmiracles.com. That's the website that you can look at to find out the info about the book. And you can be blessed when you read it. Amen. And then the other thing I want to remind you about is the PayPal. This program over the years has been a blessing to you. I want to please encourage you to please sow a seed into this program. As you sow a seed, it helps keep us going. That's not why I want you to sow a seed. Why I want you to sow a seed, because I believe that when you sow, that if you want the blessing of God upon your life, sometimes you have to launch out. You got to sow a seed. You got to activate your faith. What are you believing for from God? You got to activate that faith. Activate it. And what you can do is sow a seed into this program. To sow a seed into this program, you go online to paypal.com. In the search bar, you type in Rivers Shukla. Again, that first name is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. And then the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Keep in mind that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. Also, please, I want you to also keep in mind that there is, that the first star in Rivers and then the S in Shukla are both capitalized. And when you sow a seed, I like, whenever I talk to you about sowing a seed into the Miracle Man program, I always like to give you to sow a verse into your life, a Bible verse that you can sow into your life, that you can stand on as you sow. In the verse, I want you to stand on tonight, where it says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. It didn't say tithe and it shall be given unto you. It didn't say pray and it shall be given unto you. It didn't say worship or work and it shall be given unto you. It said give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. And I receive that. And I take a moment right now and I call these people blessed as they sow their seed. And I curse poverty, debt, and lack of opportunities off my lives in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, before we get into a couple of worship songs, I want to sing you the song I'm going to be singing at the Right to Life event. Tiny little fingers, tiny little toes, what she could have been, only heaven knows. I forgot, but just in there. Growing in the safety of her hiding place, with a beautiful head and a precious little face, yawning and stretching and kicking around, moving, responding to her mother's sound. Choose life, choose life, in the deepest part of the darkest night. Choose life, choose life, even if your own is full of strife. A future chemist or an astronaut in space, someone to cure cancer for the human race. A wonderful mind that could have found answers to the questions that have kept us bound. Yawning and stretching and kicking around, moving, responding to his mother's sound. Choose life, choose life, in the deepest part of the darkest night. Choose life, even if your own is full of strife. So quickly it's over, it's done so fast, and then your baby is a thing of the past. A precious life would be gone, and you'll hear the whole world weep. And death you've sown if you take their life and commit that sin. You'll hear the whole world cry. What could have been? Choose life in the deepest part of the darkest night. Choose life, even if your own is full of strife. Choose life, in the deepest part of the darkest night. Choose life, even if your own is full of strife. Tiny little fingers, tiny little toes, what they could have been, only heaven knows. Now what you see here is, you have no idea what that baby could have been. No idea. No idea. But God knows. And so now we're going to sing a couple songs. And we're going to get into the word of the Lord. And so... Soon your trials will be over. Offer mercy. Yay. We are past the time for waiting. We're going to another land. Sweetest welcome from the Father. Gathered up and carried on. We are past the time of waiting. Come, let us bow before your throne. We will meet in the golden city in the new Jerusalem. All our pain and all our tears will be no more. We will stand with the host of heaven and cry, holy is the land. We will worship and adore you evermore. Never end the powers of darkness, not even death or even life. Let nothing ever separate us from the holy Lamb of God. We will meet in the golden city in the new Jerusalem. All our pain and all our tears will be no more. We will stand with the host of heaven and cry, holy is the land. We will worship and adore you evermore. We will meet in the golden city in the new Jerusalem. All our pain and all our tears will be no more. We will stand with the host of heaven and cry, holy is the land. We will worship and adore you evermore. We will meet. We will worship and adore you evermore. We will meet. We will worship and adore you evermore. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on our God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on our God. We will go from strength to strength until we see you face to face. Hear our prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Come bless our land as we seek you and worship you. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on our God. We will go from strength to strength until we see you face to face. Hear our prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Come bless our land as we seek you and worship you. Hear our prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Come bless our land as we seek you and worship you. For you are holy, for you are holy, for you are holy, Lord. For you are holy, for you are holy, for you are holy, Lord. For you are holy, for you are holy, you are holy, Lord. You are holy, you are holy, for you are holy, Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Come bless our land as we seek you and worship you. Hear our prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Come bless our land as we seek you and worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are here with us. You are Emmanuel. You are God with us. We just thank you, Lord God, that you minister to each and every one of us, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. And we know that you are with us, ministering to us right now. Thank you, Lord God, that you just meet us where we are, and that you just help us, fix us. Thank you, Lord God, that you're working on us, each one of us, individually, to make us individually what we ought to be. And it took you just a week to make the moon, the stars, sun, earth, Jupiter, and Mars. And I thank you that you are so lovely and patient, that you would put up with us and wait on us and work on us. And I thank you so much, Jesus. And I make my, and I just thank you, Lord God, for that you are just right there for us when we need you. And now, Lord, thank you for tonight, the program tonight, for every listener that is tuned in, that they would receive everything that you have for them tonight. Thank you that you are the healer. You're healing our bodies. You're healing the lot, every body, all the bodies represented tonight by these listeners. You know what these people have needs of in their bodies, their minds, and their soul. Thank you that those who don't know you, that are tuned into this program, will give their lives to you right now. And I thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing. And I thank you that you use me to deliver your word tonight as we study the word. Bless our time in your word tonight. And may it be fruitful as these people seek you. And I thank you, Lord God, for that. And now, Lord God, I make my confession over this program. I thank you, Lord, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. And most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. Let's make a Bible confession, because the Bible says we can have the fruit of our lips. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what the Word says I have. And I can do what the Word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It is more than a religious book to me. And it is more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Turn with me, if you would please, to the book of Acts 11. Praise God, Acts 11. We're continuing on and through the book of Acts, seeing what all God did. Oh my goodness, couldn't believe how the time is still left. But wow, as I said, Acts 11, and we'll see what all the Lord has for us tonight. Now, I want to encourage you, please, whatever you have, be a part. Don't just sit there and watch. If you got a Bible, open it. If you got a Bible app, maybe your phone has a Bible app on it, and turn with us there. so that you can follow along with us and not just be sitting at your house and just wondering, you know. No, follow along with us. Don't just sit there and be a spectator. No, be a part too. Turn with us. And whatever I do for the next while, you do it with us. Amen. And as I said, we're going to Acts the 11th chapter. And I read, and I'm going to begin with verse 1. Thank God we serve the God of the Word. Amen. From the God of the Word. Then the apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the Word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, and they said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men, and you ate with them." Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. Peter said, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something that was like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. And I looked into it, and I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, birds of the air. And then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter.' And I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. And the Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all of your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If God gave him the same gift as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God?" And when they heard this, they had no further
objections and praised God, saying, so then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. Now those who have been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen trailed as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people, believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas sent to Tarsus. When he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Folks, Antioch was the first time that disciples of Christ were called Christians. We'll talk more about that when we have our discussion. Verse 27. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them was named Agabus, stood up, and through the Spirit, a severe famine which spread over the entire Roman world. This appeared during the reign of Claudius, the disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help of the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to Barnabas and Saul. Let's look at chapter 12. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death by the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded. Four soldiers per squad. It says each, but so you can understand it. So four squads, four soldiers per squad, 16 soldiers. Four squads and four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring Peter out for public trial. So Peter was kept in prison. And the church was complacent, weak, asleep, not worried about anything else, just some stuff. Oh, doesn't it say that? Oh, no. Oh. I'm sorry. Verse 5 again, we'll try this again. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. See that, folks? They were praying for Peter. Verse 6. The night before Herod was to bring Peter to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers that were bound with two chains. And so first stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to Peter, "Put on your clothes and your sandals." Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought that he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate that led to the sea. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and he said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating, everything they were planning, you could say. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called John Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that she ran back without opening it and exclaiming, "Peter's at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." Peter kept on knocking. When they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet. And he described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said. And then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, she cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Verse 20. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there for a while. He had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They now joined together and bought an audience with, and saw an audience with them. Having secured this support of Blastus, who was a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food, for their food supply. On the appointed day, Herod, who was wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not of a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to increase and spread. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. Now, so folks, what do you see here, in chapter 12, and then in chapter 11, you saw people who were getting saved, they were giving their lives to Jesus, where we find out about the Church of Antioch. Now, in a later chapter, we'll find out about how, at the Church of Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, and about how they ministered to the Lord and prayed and all that different thing. But you see, where it was first at Antioch where those who are disciples of Christ, followers of Christ, began to be known as Christians, people like you and me, or followers of Christ. It was in Antioch that they were first called Christians. Antioch. So, because many people might wonder, how did we first get to be called Christians, those of us who are followers of Christ? Well, what we found out tonight is that they were first called Christians in Antioch. Of course, this Antioch is near Jerusalem. It's not an Antioch that's in the United States, of course, because here in the U.S., one year that I know of, and then we also have an Antioch that is in Tennessee. It is actually a neighborhood portion of the city of Nashville and the southeast part of town. But anyhow, you see, that was first at the church in Antioch. And for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul were ministering to the church. For a year. And obviously it says they had others come with them and help them, and, you know, those different prophets and stuff came to minister. They said that those prophets prophesied that there'd be a famine in the entire Roman world, which did end up happening. But of course, obviously those people they weren't exactly quipping and being all like, we were hoping that he would only have something good to, they would only have something good to say. But that's how people are. They want the prophet, but they want only want the prophet to prophesy something positive. Rather than to give bring the truth, they want something that's positive. Something that's positive, like prosperity, something like that. They don't like, people don't necessarily like being rebuked. They don't necessarily like being corrected. I know, correction is not exactly pleasant, but God's done with it. Nonetheless, that prophet told those people, and then people were helping each other, as the brothers needed help. And then Peter ends up telling the people in chapter 11 what had happened and how he got, you know, ended up with Cornelius and all those different things that had happened that led up to what happened with Cornelius. And more, but in that church of Antioch, more and more people kept finding out about Jesus. More and more people kept getting saved. More people kept getting saved. And there was that outpouring. Now in chapter 12. Oh, you see Herod. What's Herod trying to do? Stop the church. The word of God. The best he can. Imprison those who preach the word. By any means that he could. They had James, John's brother, put to death by the sword. Peter was put in prison, guarded by four squads, four soldiers per squad, 16 soldiers, mind you, 16 soldiers that were to keep watch over Peter. I don't know about you, but to me, this Herod guy was serious about that. He was like, don't you dare let him out. Don't you dare let him out. We have to keep this guy locked up. He's a danger. And then Peter, in the middle of the night, this angel waking Peter up. And the angel of God says, hey, Peter, Come with me. The angel goes with Peter. Peter goes with the angel, puts on his clothes. And the angel is leading him out of the prison. The angel is leading him out of the prison. And the angel walks with him for the length of a street. And then Peter finally comes to himself and realizes, hey, I'm out of prison. He goes to the house of Rhoda. He goes to Mary's house, where all of these people, tons of people, are there with Mary, including Rhoda, who goes to the door and looks at the door and notices that it's Peter. She's so excited that she forgets to open the door to let Peter in. And I'm sure Peter's outside like, hey, it's Peter. Open the door. Open the door. Open the door. But then all these people are like, oh, it's an angel. Oh, it's one of the soldiers. Oh, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. So they're like, are you dreaming? Are you out of your mind? And then they're like, it must be him. Let's go to the door. They go to the door. They note that it's him. And then they open the door. And he motions for him to be quiet. And he says, and he basically tells them everything that happens. He gives his full account as to what happens. Talking about how the angel of the Lord walked the length of a street with him. And all those other things that happened with Peter. And they're all trying to think, of what could have happened to Peter. Some of those people, I'm sure, they're like, oh, Peter's probably dead, and he's probably, somewhere locked in the fortress of Antonio. And no, I did not say San Antonio, Texas. I said Antonio on a cliff somewhere. Peter basically tells him, Mary's thinking like, you're welcome in my house. But he's like, no, I can't. The soldiers may look for me. So Herod is, after that, Herod decides to do the big cross-examination thing to try to find out, all right, how did our prisoner get free here? What on earth happened? So they go through and they look at everything and they're like, all right, we're going to have those soldiers executed. And then Herod goes to give a public address to the people, explain to them what happened. But then all these men are like, you're speaking like a god, and what have you, like. And Herod was not praising God at all. You want to know what? Herod ended up dropping dead right there. He ended up dropping dead right there. He messed with the, he messed because he messed with Peter. Because Peter was sent to preach the word of God. Boldly. Peter and Herod tried to silence him. One of these pastors that I love following, I've mentioned him multiple times on my show, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, who's been doing that big thing to stand in Florida for the last year and a half. He, Dr. Brown, opened his church on like the last Sunday of March of 2020, just after the Hillsborough County had declared a stay-at-home order, that issued a stay-at-home order for those people who were living in that county. And for whatever reason, it included churches. Dr. Brown holds service, and the next day, there's helicopters and all that near his house, and then Donica says, you know, look what's outside, and he's like, yeah, no. And then Dr. Brown says goodbye to his wife. He's like, I don't know how long I'll be gone. I might never come out. Like, he wasn't sure, of course. But when he went to jail, he was at peace. And their sheriff felt bad that he had to do it. He felt bad that he had to lock Dr. Brown up. He felt bad about it. He did. But eventually, within 3 days, everything was reversed. Dr. Brown could have went right back to that church, to the river, Tampa Bay, in Tampa, the next Sunday. But he basically said, no, I can't. And he's like, no, not because of a virus. Because of crazy people who were threatening Dr. Brown, who were threatening the lives of people we're going to that church. So we kept praying and believing God and what have you, and then God showed him, you know, there's something you're supposed to do before you just open up your church. But at first, at least, when you hold, I just start this big thing called the stand. And at first, unless there's lightning, I want you to only hold services in your parking lot, on this field that he ended up putting up. I want you to have the services out there. Now, that field has now become known as the River Pavilion. It has now morphed into a big pavilion, is what it has morphed into. And what I'm using all this to say is, you can't stop the church. You can't stop the church. You see, God loves his church. He loves his church. And Herod tried to stop Peter. He paid a dear price with his own life because he was killed.
And Peter, even though he was put in prison?
Yes.
Oh, by the way, that gate, that iron gate that led into the city, it opened itself. It opened up itself. So for those of you who might be listening to the show and you might be thinking, oh, yeah, I can stop the church. If you touch the church, if you touch the believers, to win the work of God, you're gonna pay a steep price. Because God loves his people so much. And so I'm sorry about that. I don't know how my phone got what. I'm sorry about that. I don't know what on earth happened, folks, but make sure. Oh, good. I can hear you. And I'm sure that I know that, you know, that what I was saying is, so all those people were there at that house waiting for Peter. And they were praying, you know, that God would be with him. You know, wherever he was, in that, whatever prison he was in, acknowledging God, like, you are God, your Lord, heaven and earth. And they're like, you know, grant us boldness so we can speak your word. The world, they thought, and with this thing that happened with Dr. Brown, and not just him, but these other pastors in other places, oh, they thought they could use a virus to stop the word, the work of God. That's not how it works. And folks, the plan was not to open this up ever again. That was the plan. Open this up ever again at any time. To leave it locked down permanently. People prayed. People stood up. And, of course, in places you still have these vaccine mandates, mask mandates, face diaper mandate. Whether you want to call it a face diaper or a mask or a mask or whatever you want to call it, it's up to you. But people have taken a stand. There have been countries in which there have been hundreds of thousands of people protesting against these vaccine mandates and other measures. I wish we would have more protests like that in this country, protesting against, like, these governors in California or New York State. Or like the mayor of New York City, the mayor of Chicago, the mayor of Boston. Now real soon, the mayor of
Minneapolis, the mayor of St. Paul, San Francisco, Los Angeles, these different, Philadelphia, different large cities, of which none of which are in the South. Wait. What I just said there, though, was totally beside the point. Point is we should not be having those kind of mandates in this country. And what will they do next? Make it so that you have to have the vax in order to go to church? I pray not. I hope not. Oh, you're against the vax. No. I want people to have the choice. Choose for themselves. If you don't think you should have it, don't take it. I made the decision for myself. And I feel like I'm at peace with it. And so, but the message is, thank God for people like Peter, who decided, you know, I'm still going to be bold. I'm still going to preach the word of God, whether I get thrown in prison or not. Because I didn't see anywhere where he said, I guess I should back off and behave myself. After all, I don't want a criminal record at all. I don't want a criminal record. And I figure if I just behave myself, that I can avoid being arrested. But he decided that it was worth it to preach the gospel. And Herod, the one who decided to stop, that they wanted to go after Peter and others like him. Peter ended up dying. Excuse me, Herod ended up dying, not Peter. I'm not trying to mix the two up, but Herod ended up dying. Not Peter. Herod. Herod died. He was not praising God at all. He was going after Peter and those like him. Those that were like Peter. And he was mad about what happened with that Peter was just able to walk out of jail. But that angel of the Lord helped pull him out. And those believers were there praying. And they had obviously been trained, you know. We love our brothers. We pray over our brothers. Our leaders, like Peter, because Peter was a leader to them. And so they were all gathered together at Mary's house. Pray. For Peter. And then they see Peter. But then Peter ends up going to another place. But then, I don't know about you, but in my mind, this is just an awesome story. And and you see, he had backbone. There's pastors out there that would have just said, I don't want to get arrested. oh, they issued a stay-at-home order. We'll just do it online. After all, there is this thing going around that we have to look to know where it is and who has it. But nonetheless, I thank God for people like Peter who have that backbone. Lord God, I thank you for this word tonight. Thank you that your people would rise up and have backbone. And that they would make a stand for your word and for what's right. They would stand for you and stand for your word. And that we would be doers of your word as we go through this life and climax these ages that we live in. That we would be doers of your word and not hearers only. That we'll put your word to use in our own lives. And I thank you, Lord God, that it's so great to serve you. And I thank you, Lord God, for that. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right. In terms of sports for last night, you had the Red Wings with a nice 3-2 win yesterday. And also, in NFL, you had the Rams manhandle the Arizona Cardinals 31-7. Matthew Stafford threw for multiple touchdowns in his first playoff win. This win for the Rams does give Detroit a lower draft pick for their second first-round draft pick that they got in exchange for Stafford. But at the same time, if you're a Lions fan, you have to go, hey, Stafford did something he hadn't done in Detroit, won a playoff game. Oh, mind you, he would have won a playoff game in Dallas a few years back had the refs not messed with him. Oh, but those refs had to make a bad call. Of course. Because the Lions don't get breaks from the refs. Right? They don't. They don't get breaks from the refs. I don't know why they don't, but they don't. To this day, 6 years later, and the Lions still like to give us a hard time. Right. To say I'm happy for Stafford. They got a win. Next for them, they go to Tampa Bay for the early game on Sunday. Game one on Saturday is Cincinnati versus Tennessee in Nashville, Tennessee, on Saturday afternoon. For the evening, San Francisco will travel to Green Bay. Sunday, you will have LA Rams will travel to Tampa Bay, Tampa, Florida, to take on the Buccaneers. And then for Sunday night, you'll have the Chiefs taking on the Bills. I think the Bills might be the team from the 90s, like the teams from the 90s that made to all four of those Super Bowls, but then they lost them all. By the way, that would be so embarrassing in a way. Oh, we finished number two 4 years in a row, but we didn't win one Super Bowl. We did not win one Super Bowl. That would have to be so embarrassing. But, folks, tomorrow night I will pick these games and we'll go from there. And we'll see if we have some Jim Harbaugh news tomorrow. Until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.